Whether we are there or not, ITSP Magazine still gets the best stories. Plenty of conferences and events spark our curiosity and allow us to start conversations with some of the world's brightest minds. In person or virtually, Sean Martin and Marco Cappelli go on location and sit down with them at the intersection of technology, cybersecurity, and society. Together, we discover what the synergy of these three elements means for the future of humanity. SquareX helps organizations detect, mitigate, and threat hunt web attacks happening against their users in real time. With its innovative browser-native security product, SquareX safeguards enterprise users from a spectrum of web-based threats, encompassing malicious files, websites, scripts, and compromised networks. Learn more at sqrx.com. At AT&T, we simplify securing your most valuable business assets by providing broad cybersecurity experience and award-winning services. We manage the risk, you reap the reward. Learn more at cybersecurity.att.com.
Marco.
Sean.
I have an ace and a queen? Jack,
yeah.
Queen, king? I don't know. Take your pick. Does it matter if it's jack, queen, king?
I don't know. Your poker face. Your poker face is really bad.
Is it bad? And the way I talk about it is really bad too. I don't know. I have 21. Hit me. No, wait. Don't hit me. I think that's what most casinos say. Don't hit me. Casinos like they keep their money. Don't hit me.
And be careful what you wish for when you talk about hit me and we talk about cybersecurity.
Exactly.
What are you going to be hit with? So
I think there's probably something that we can talk about that today. So this is part of our chats on the road, not to Vegas, but to San Francisco RSA conference. You might have gotten confused there. This chats on the road to not to Las Vegas, San Francisco for RSA conference, where Marco and I get to talk to cool people and look at some of the sessions that are going on. And this one caught my attention for a couple of reasons. First, the guests, amazing. Good to have you on again, Tanisha, and good to meet you, Elise. And also the topic, blackjack and breaches is the topic. So now you can kind of guess what we're rambling on about, or at least what I'm rambling on about. So we're going to get into that. But first, I want to give Tanisha and Elise a bit of space to share what they're up to. Of course, Tanisha's been on the show before. It's good to have you back. Why don't you say a few words, Tanisha, what you're up to at the moment?
Absolutely. So I am currently working on a doctorate in cybersecurity with a focus on artificial intelligence. And part of the reason why I actually started looking at this topic is, number one, I love to gamble. And then number two, I'm interested in some of the advances in the gaming industry, for example, blockchain, artificial intelligence, and adoption of the gaming and the casino industry, and some of the, I think, kind of roadblocks that are preventing, you know, that from happening, especially like within the United States. So that's kind of like what my interest in, what I've been up to, I guess, for the past, 6 months to a year or so. But I'm super excited to be back, and thank you guys for having us.
Awesome. And Elise?
Yes, I'm Elise McGowan. Look, I survived my PhD, so I feel Tanisha's pain. By day, I'm an assistant professor at the University of Southern Mississippi, and by afternoon, evening, night, early mornings, I'm the CISO for Black Girls Hack. And so Tanisha pitched the idea, and I think in my write-up, I said I was a baby gambler, but the more I looked into it, it was really intriguing, the whole digital ecosystem that's kind of intertwined into the casino industry. So that's why I'm here.
Well, it's definitely catchy. You know, Sean said to me, hey, you need to be part of this because it's going to be a good topic. And I read the title and I'm like, okay, I definitely want to know. You got my attention. So apart from the passion for playing cards or gambling, I mean, what is so relevant right now that made you pick this topic? Tanisha, let's start with you.
Absolutely. So for me, I think it was in August of last year, maybe August, September of last year, there were two very high profile breaches. One of those was with the MGM and the other one was with, I believe it was Caesars. And they were both ransomware attacks and they both had very, very different outcomes based on what I assume is different leadership and different approaches to risk management. And when I saw those, you know, I started investigating because I was like, this is super interesting how you can have, you know, what's basically the same, you know, threats, but then completely different outcomes. So, you know, we started looking into, what the breaches were in the industry. And those were the first two that I had seen. But when we started investigating, there were nowhere near the first or the second, probably not the 10th number of breaches that have happened in this industry. But I think that what stood out to me, I actually had visited an MGM property during the period where this was going on, because I think it took several months for it to kind of resolve and for them to get back up and running. And it was very interesting the way that things were impacted. I think there was probably a bigger impact there than it was like at the beginning of COVID, which was crazy. But, you know, because so many things were interconnected, I think that it basically to some places brought them down to a halt, which I thought was super interesting because I was like, you know, how are all of these things connected online and should they be? So I thought that was super interesting. And Elise is always like down for a good investigation, especially when it's, you know, in the middle of the night when she's not sleeping. So
you're just like, we'll sleep.
Well, tell me a little bit about what technology is used. Cause I don't know how many, has it been 10 years now that I was in behind the scenes of a casino looking at security operations center and kind of the stuff they worry about. And it was traditional IT stuff that they were primarily managing and at least sharing with us, like a group of us getting the tour. But one of the things in the description you have is ICT, and you mentioned blockchain and of course, AI, we have to mention that. Of course, these organizations are using the latest technologies available to them to provide the best experience, right? And to provide the best returns to the business. So who can paint a picture of kind of what's involved there? Are blockchains embedded in the cards nowadays? And do the roulette balls have sensors in them? And I don't know, they probably have all this time, but I don't know, what are we seeing in terms of exposure of technology?
Look, I usually play roulette and I go with the balls have something in them. But one of the biggest things that I can think about them using this like facial recognition and AI. So even using that to identify players that may have been banned from the properties and things like that. And Tanisha, you may have some more that you can speak to.
Yeah, I was one of the things that I found interesting. Like, I don't know if you guys watch, like, for example, poker. I watch a lot of online poker. And what's interesting is that they have, like, you know, for example, RFID chips in the playing cards, for example. And like all of the systems that they basically use, if you imagine like all of the different games between the ones that play cards, the ones that play dice, you know, there are different ways that these things are connected. And I think that the thing that I found interesting is that when you look in at the use of, when we're talking about AI, for example, when you look at the use of AI for a casino, like it makes sense to me that they would be like, you know, hey, Tanisha likes playing poker. So, you know, we're going to send her some deals for poker, or, you know, she likes staying in, you know, nice hotel rooms. So we're going to send her some deals for that. Right. But, you know, what was interesting is the way that a lot of the games themselves shut down during the breach. Right. And the ability to see like which games were up and running, you would think all right, well, maybe it's just the slot machines, but it wasn't just the slot machines. There were also table games and other things that are that were in place as well, which to me was like, you know, hey, there's a lot more things that are interconnected here than you would think just from, you know, face value.
So that makes me think one thing. I'm actually reading a book right now called The Battle for Your Brain, which is all about the use of IoT devices and the study, the frequency of your brain, which pretty much still we're going to be reading your mind. So when you start talking about the casino using, we already knew about all the camera to check out that things are okay. And but the things that you can do with AI kind of, I don't know, maybe I'm already reading in the future with this, but it's pretty scary. And again, how do you treat it in a way that you can just be safe or create silos or compartment where you say you were shocked that it would have affect everything or let's say a lot of things. So how is that? Does it need to be all interconnected like this?
I don't know if it necessarily needs to be. When you look at what, you know, folks think that the future of gaming is going to look like, where you can basically do it, you know, beyond borders, across, you know, nations and states and whatever the case may be, it's super interesting. There are a lot of, I think, legislative and regulatory hurdles right now that will prevent that from happening within the United States. But at some point, you know, there needs to be a way for us to be able to, and by us, I mean like the industry, being able to monitor, to know what's going on. One of the, ways that at least MGM, if you've read their privacy policy, which I have, they say that they use it to detect things like cheating, for example. They also, you know, use things like, you know, they mentioned your biological material. I don't know what that means to this day, but that found that interesting. But then also things like license plate readers and, you know, facial recognition. That's, you know, I think that's standard par for the course type of things, right? But when you're talking about, you know, the wave of the future, you know, like let's say if you're wearing a VR headset, right? And you go into the casino and they're like, hey, Tanisha, the game you like is over this way. You know, the food that you like is this way. You know, folks that you typically play with are in the casino. They're at this table and this, you know what I'm saying? This machine hasn't hit in, you know, X amount of time, right? So if we're having all of these things connected from a security perspective, what's interesting is, you know, hey, yes, we have as consumers a lot more information available to us, like, you know, hey, if this machine hasn't hit in a while, maybe it's time for it to hit, right? But at the same time, I think that also improves our outcomes, especially if you think about, you know, in-person games like poker and, you know, any of the card games, whether you're playing human versus another human. So I think that, you know, something that's interesting to me is like looking at the security, what does that actually look like for the gaming industry, especially as we tend to move towards things full speed, such as artificial intelligence and blockchain and, you know, all of the virtual reality, augmented reality, whatever the possibilities are moving forward, you know, we need to do that in a way that takes a look at the security of the system in a way that, you know, we can still have fun, but, you know, we're protected as well.
Yeah, and Alisa, like your perspective on this, because I'm seeing three things. So one, clearly the human driven fraud, they're trying to get a handle on that, and they're using technology to do that. If they do that too well, that may impact legitimate players, right, and their experience, and might make it less fun at the casino. And then there's just the general business side of it. We have to make enough money to provide an experience, so we're using technology to do that, but now we're also exposing ourselves and adding more risk for technical or digital type of fraud. So it's this juggling act, if you will, and every company has it, not just casinos, but this juggling act. So I'm wondering, how do you perceive organizations like the casinos kind of tweaking those knobs and flipping those levers and sliding the slides to find that right mix of risk, reward, experience, revenue, all that good stuff, shareholder value.
Well, I guess just like with every other industry, you know, it's all about, you know, balance, balancing, you know, figuring out what your risk appetite is and, you know, providing, you know, figuring out how to move forward. Because like, even with the protections that are in place, you've got like technologies like quantum computing and things like that, that, you know, coming down the pipe that are going to revolutionize things like, you know, data security and make current like things that we're doing as far as encryption methods obsolete. So it's just always going to be like, no matter what, having to try to improve, you know, what it is that we're doing while, you know, having a competing interest of making sure that the players are happy and able to do, you know, what they need to do, because that's where you get your money from as, you know, the casino. So it's just all about trying to figure out how to balance and keep everybody happy and safe.
And I think I would probably also say that it at the end of the day, I think data is king, right? When it comes down to it, they're collecting all of this information, not necessarily to make the environment more safe or more enjoyable. Like when it comes down to it, the information they're collecting gives them more of a complete profile of the people who are actually using their facilities, the people who are actually gambling, which for them, you know, of course, probably means higher, you know, probability if you continuing to do that, especially if they can figure out, you know, the human perspective of which is what makes each one of these people take, what do they do in certain scenarios, things of that nature. And I think that the data, you know, is probably going to be more valuable to them than the actual, you know, gambling themselves, just because it, I think like many organizations, you know, it doesn't necessarily matter. Like, for example, some of the social media sites, you know, doesn't necessarily matter that you have access to all of your friends and family, right? What matters is that they have all of this data that they can now use, you know, to determine what is it that you're purchasing, what do you do, you know, things of that nature, which I think is far more valuable to the industry than anything else.
Yeah, they're blowing up a casino to put in a new ball field, which more sports betting over slot machines, it seems.
Or maybe there's going to be both. By the time that you go
in every seat.
Right. They could just put it in like one of those behind the chair, like little screens where you can just basically gamble there while you're sitting there and watching the game.
Or while you're waiting. I mean, I hope you're not going to gamble while you're watching the game, but you know, there are level and level of addiction.
But you know, they have, you guys probably know, they have the slot machines in the airport at the in Las Vegas, right? So like they have a long set precedent of, you know, why don't you go ahead and play while you're waiting? You know, so I don't think it's they're above that.
Mm-hmm, for sure. So before we dive into maybe give a little of the teaser for what your talk is really focusing on, so we can achieve our objective to have people come and actually fill the room for you guys and look and watch at the listen to the conversation. One observation that I have is I cannot think a better place for adversary to experiment more than on the gambling table. All this new technology, like you say, you know, the camera were there so that, you know, back in the 70s, the 60s, the 80s, to be sure that you're not cheating just by looking at the physical aspect of things. But now again, if you have something that, you know, smart glasses or smartphone or a way to get the excitement in the reading the face, literally the poker face we were joking about with Sean at the beginning. I mean, it's an entire environment of almost like a lab for attack and therefore for defense. So I don't know if you want to add a comment to this, but for me, there could be a movie right here, a very high-tech sci-fi movie, just about that.
And I think that they're shooting for that, you know, very high profile, you know, movie aesthetic, you know. And I think that when we tend to design systems, we tend to go with the outcome in mind and build security in as an afterthought, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, as a hacker, for me, like, that seems like super interesting. I'm not trying to get banned forever or anything like that, but, you know, I would love to be involved in, like, you know, either physical or pen test of, yeah, you know, the casinos, because, right, you know, just from a, as a player, you know, I think it's super interesting to see the technologies that they have, how they're interconnected, you know, how the traffic flows, right? Because, you know, for the longest time, you know, unless you're at like a slot machine, if you're like at a table, for example, they don't want you to have a phone there with you. And part of that is, in my mind, I've always thought it was because they don't want you basically tracking the outcomes of the hands to try to, you know, generate, you know, probabilities or whatever. In my mind, that's what I figured the reason for the ban on phones. But, you know, I've seen over the last couple of years that some places are becoming more lax in terms of, you know, that restriction. So I would really love to see, you know, how that works, because it would literally be like a huge playground for me. Like, if they let me loose in a casino and we're like, go forth and hack and do your worst. And like, I get that, you know, get out of jail free card. And like, that would literally be what, you know, a playground would look like for me. Yep.
Look, I've got all my lock pick tools ready. You know, they can call me anytime. I'll volunteer.
Right. I don't even necessarily know that they would have to pay me, because that just sounds like it would be a lot of fun.
Just don't put me in jail.
Right. Need all the signed documents.
Well, they don't mind your phone being in there now, because you connect to their cell tower, not the carriers.
True. And they can see all of your traffic, which is the other thing that's interesting. Because, you know, I think most people, non-security professionals, you know, think nothing of, you know, hey, my phone doesn't work when I get in here. Like, let me connect to their Wi-Fi. And then when you connect to their Wi-Fi, they basically see all of the traffic for what it is that you are doing. You know, they get access to that. And if you look at their, again, their privacy policy, the terms and conditions, like the things that they're allowed, like, they've covered pretty much all of the things. And I'm looking at here and I'm like, like, you know, they have a breach. I would expect, like, you know, hey, maybe my phone and, you know, my credit card numbers are released, but like, the types of information that they're tracking today, and not to pick on them, I just happen to be researching them for a project, but the type of information they're tracking, you know, points towards a future which is very integrated, which includes, you know, things like artificial intelligence and virtual reality and, you know, blockchain. And I think it's going to be super interesting once they start getting over, like I said, some of those regulatory and legislative hurdles to be able to, you know, make it so that you can play anywhere, you know, at any time.
So they could see me searching for how to count cards on my toes. All right, well, let's do this. I mean, we could talk about this for a long time, I'm sure. But I want people to come see you at RSA Conference Wednesday, May 8th, 2:25. Your session is Blackjack and Breaches, History of Ransomware on the Casino Industry. You gave us a snippet, Tanisha, of why this came to be, but who do you want to join you there? Who are you speaking to as part of this session? What do you hope they get out of this?
I'd say it's probably split. I'd say it's interesting for your, you know, avid gambler, but I think as security professionals, it's also interesting as well, because I think that when it comes down to it, you know, when you're just looking at, like I said, for us, the difference between like the two situations, which happened basically, I think, within mere weeks of each other, and the severity of the outcomes in terms of the financial and the length of time that it took to recover from it, I think are both super interesting. There's some lessons learned there. And I think also when we look at the history of what, you know, it looks like across all of the different gaming industry, the different casinos and the different breaches that they've had over the past. And I think we, if I'm not mistaken, I think maybe we identified like between 10 and 15 different breaches that have happened. My hope is that it would help to improve security within the industry. And then, you know, cybersecurity practitioners can look at some of the parallels that exist in terms of, you know, your response to issues, you know, having a reactive approach versus a proactive approach to security, which I think a lot of the casinos do. You know, they're, you know, we've seen some trends which, you know, let you know certain things about the industry as a whole. And, you know, we're going to say, you know, hey, this is what we're seeing. This is some recommendations that we can provide that on how to make it better. And, you know, for people who are maybe not necessarily in the gaming industry, this is what you can take away just as far as being able to look at the breaches that happen and, you know, assess what's the best way to move forward in terms of lessons learned.
Elise, anything to add to that?
Nope, she covered it. That's the biggest thing that I was going to say was that, you know, it's applicable to multiple industries or whatever. And the actionable items that, you know, we'll give during the presentation can definitely be applied.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking when you were going over all the things like the parallel with airport security or other venue of entertainment, like big parks and all of that, where you need to show that everything is sparkly and safe. And in the backstage is where a lot of things are actually happen so that you can enjoy your gaming, your entertainment and everything you do in those locations. So I think it's exciting. Definitely going to try to stop by when we are in Las Vegas. I'm thinking Las Vegas right now. Actually San Francisco. Okay. So Moscone. And we're looking forward to see you guys there. And Sean,
well, we can get
bring your card, please.
Just leave the cards back. We can do our pretend casino at the arcade museum. I'm sure we'll find
Give us our I'll play pinball.
You're risking a quarter. Nice one. Nice one. Well, it's a pleasure to have you both on, Tanisha and Elise. And thanks, everybody, for listening to and watching this episode, our Chats on the Road to RSA Conference. We have loads more coming up and, of course, lots of fun stuff on location there, Marco and I. And so stay tuned, itspmagazine.com/RSAC. Everything is there, and see you all very soon. It's coming up very quick. So thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Square X helps organizations detect, mitigate, and threat hunt web attacks happening against their users in real time. With its innovative browser-native security product, Square X safeguards enterprise users from a spectrum of web-based threats, encompassing malicious files, websites, scripts, and compromised networks. Learn more at sqrx.com. At AT&T, we simplify securing your most valuable business assets by providing broad cybersecurity experience and award-winning services. We manage the risk, you reap the reward. Learn more at cybersecurity.att.com. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Sean and Marco's On Location event coverage conversations. Please take a moment to give the show a good rating and leave a comment. Remember to share this podcast with your friends, family, and colleagues. Come back for more conversations and follow Sean Martin and Marco Cappelli as they continue their journey toward redefining cybersecurity and society.